this is a normal higher ed thing to fall prey to, like, hey, what is the one thing that we need to do to use all this money so that way we get it out of the budget, so that way no one takes it away, but then also so we can make an impact. And it's not one thing. It's absolutely not one thing.
Have you ever wondered if there is a different, maybe even a better way to tackle an enrollment or marketing issue? Are there processes or practices in your institution that you wonder, why does this exist and why has no one bothered to disrupt it?
Or what about a hot new enrollment marketing trend that you've been asked to jump on, but you're not really sure how to do it the right way, or even if it's worth doing at all?
Believe me, we get it. I'm Jamie Gleason, a 20-year veteran of higher ed who has worked both inside and outside the institution and on the vendor side of enrollment marketing.
And I'm Tony Fraga, an 18-year recovering higher ed marketer who has seen just about every enrollment marketing model in the industry. And we've teamed up to launch the Pivot Podcast to take an issue, a hurdle, or an outdated process and suggest ways to pivot into a new direction or launch into a better process. As much as possible, we'll use actual examples, but we'll try to keep all the takeaways as fresh as possible.
You'll laugh, heck, you might even cry, but we promise this is a podcast that you won't want to miss. The Pivot is proud to be a part of the Enrollify Podcast Network, and you can subscribe to this podcast at enrollify.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back for episode 5 of The Pivot. Tony, you were dead in the middle of a sentence right as this was about to start. I believe I heard,
let's start this episode with the fact that this pivot's not fair. I'm calling a flag. Okay. On the play. This is an unfair
pivot.
Good. That's a good preface. So let's dive into it then, and we can judge. We can let others judge whether it's fair or unfair, because I think plenty of people live in this reality, and then they're probably thinking, well, my job isn't fair. I'm running into unfair challenges all the time. So let's see. All right. So we're a couple months from the end of the fiscal year, and looking around, surplus, $50,000 you get to spend between, you know, now and the end of the fiscal year. Let's say that's roughly 2 months, maybe three. So you have $50,000 to spend, but you got to pivot off of list buys aren't working and digital ads aren't performing well enough where you feel comfortable reinvesting a large portion of that money back in. Obviously, you're making a push to try and, you know, get some last minute applications, deposits, whatever it might be for end of the year. What are you doing with that $50,000?
I want to know, before we get into the pivot, what's not fair about this? Like, what do you think is not fair about this? Because this is actually the reality that a lot of people do live in. And let's just be honest, sometimes the decisions that come down from the powers that be aren't fair, but we have to live with them.
Well, what's not fair, I think, is the parameters that we are stuck with the pivot. Because I actually think most schools would spend it on digital ads and or would buy a list. Yeah. Or the next tactic I'd want to jump to is SEO, but we just talked about that sneak preview previous episode. If you haven't listened to that one, that's a dang good pivot on what you do at $25,000. And we talked all about SEO. So I feel like we just took out three tactics that I think are viable options for some schools. Sure. That's where I think it's not fair.
Yeah.
But hence the pivot challenge, I guess. I should just embrace it and stop complaining.
If everything was SEO and digital ads, we'd be running low on episodes.
Don't tell anyone.
There's a lot to talk about with just those. But yes.
Yeah, there is. There is. All right. So I'm going to put some dates on because I feel like I have to, right? Yeah. Like, let's just say it's April 1st. We've got 3 months left. We've got $50,000. We're trying. And I think the other thing that you didn't necessarily point out, but I think is inferred, at least by me, we're trying to use this money to make an impact on the immediate fall.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't a long-term play. This is like a short-term play. What do we do with that?
Correct. And you guys spend the money by the end of the fiscal year, which for most schools is probably June 30th for most schools. So you've got 2-3 months to spend this money. It's a blitz, and it's got to impact this fall.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What do you do?
What do I do? Yeah. I think the other set of variables that's involved in this is we don't know what's happened so far. So that's, I think, a little bit. But let's just assume that we've had the normal palette of emails and visit opportunities and things that are just kind of standard fare. What I would do is, oh, this is so hard. This is a hard one because this is like, you know, because
you don't have the data. You don't have the knowledge you need, which would make those pivots off of, because we're so used to pivoting off of information,
data-driven decisions.
Where's the gaps? What's not working? What is working really well? Mm-hmm. And we can't even, we're taking out the ability to double down in certain areas. Maybe that's the first pivot.
Really.
Maybe that's where you should spend the money. Yeah. You should start. I would spend, maybe we need to reserve some of that money. I don't care whose time you got to buy, but like, how can you get the answers you need to spend? If you could spend $2,000 to spend the other $48,000 really well, maybe that's what you should do first.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking is like, how do you get, it's either you want to like figure out a way to get those insights immediately. And I think it's best a both and, not an either or. How do I get those insights, but then also set myself up for those insights in future years so that I'm not ever operating in the absence of data? Like, you want to be able to say, hey, this year, last year, April 1st, we got this insight. We made this decision. And look, it brought us like 16 more students between April 1 and June 30th. That was good. That was like that was three times as many as we had the previous year. How do we make sure that we do that again? So my pivot is a little bit more analog. And I think that's the whole thing with this that becomes a little harder is that a lot of our recommendations here are going to be analog. They're going to be like old fashioned. They're going to feel old fashioned. However, I think though there's like a place for that. I think we live in this highly digital age, you know, where we go to SEO and digital leads like immediately. So my pivot would be make a early summer travel plan in order to meet up, do like regional meetups in coffee shops where you're buying people, like buying not just anyone, you're buying incomplete leads, you're creating meetings, you're going after them. The pursuit, you're the pursuer. And you're actually spending that money trying to make that investment into them. Because I think higher ed sometimes falls trap. We fall prey to the belief that it's like a seller's market and it's a buyer's market. And I think sometimes we need to get on our feet a little bit more and run after the ones that we really want to get instead of like waiting for them to come to us. So my pivot is, let's spend, you know, $20,000-$30,000 at least, like finding the pockets of people that we're missing and bringing the roadshow to them so that we can answer their questions, so that we can meet them, so that we can work through this process, give them a taste of like what it looks like. That's my first one. I have another thought that I'm brewing on, but I'm going to shut up for a second.
That's good. I like that. I think my mind goes to, again, in the limit, I love the old school, and I definitely think there are some analog good old school tactics that can be done. They're really like, there's really so many things you could do at $50,000. I actually appreciate that amount of money. So for any of these schools that are actually considering something like this, I can just say it's very helpful to have $50,000, because I actually think $50,000 means you can do two or four things.
Yeah.
You don't have to just do one thing. I think if you're $25,000 or less, you're really looking at one big thing if you want to make enough of an impact.
Sure.
And I think $50,000 to me immediately means I can pivot and do multiple things at the same time. So for me, one of the first things I would do is think about how to market and promote an incentive of some sort.
Yeah.
I think you have to have an incentive that is the excuse by which you really push this app, this, because this is only for programs that are still going to take applications for this fall, and you can bring them in. And you've actually been marketing and talking about these programs for a while now. Mm-hmm. So what's different? You need an excuse. You need the reason. So it can be anything. It doesn't have to be the most sexy incentive, but any incentive will do. An app fee waiver. I've seen some schools get very creative. even on the undergrad side, you know, particularly like free iPads or free this, sure, or they'll cover books into it, books and fees for your first semester or whatever that is. But any sort of incentive that just really becomes, it's actually not the incentive that's the most attractive. It's the excuse for you to be promoting out again. Now, again, admittedly, you've just taken out the ability to do digital ad promos, so I can't do that. But I would still find a way. You've tied my arms behind my back a little bit. I would still find a way to promote these incentives, whether that's putting stuff on your website and I've got to pay a designer to really design some graphics for the website, organic social media promotions, unpaid. So no, I'm following the rules, Shane.
Good job.
And so I would start with an incentive and start promoting that aggressively. So there's this logical reason as to why I'm in your face again and why we're doing what you're saying, Jamie, which is going out and getting them.
Yeah.
It's not the 16th time we're saying, we're here,
apply
such
now.
And such school, and just yelling that louder. It's, oh, hey, by the way, did you know or just announce best incentives? Yeah, can you do a tuition reduction? Can your program now take 38 credits instead of 42? Like, I don't know, those would be really cool things, but not everyone can do that. So any sort of incentive, and promote it via the channels you have. So then I'd start adding it in. And I think the next channel I go to, the second thing I'd do is email. I would revamp and rip out a different kind of short-term blitz email conflow, because your existing conflow is probably too stretched out to be effective enough in this. So I'd use the money to pay copywriters, designers, and just email marketing technologists who really know emails. I would analyze quickly all of my emails from the past year and take the best of the best and come up with a wicked cool, very creative, very compelling email sequence to promote that incentive, but also all the other things that essentially drives mid-funnel leads to start an app or drives accepted students to deposit. I don't care if this is a yield campaign or a push to apply or whatever it is, but I think that takes time and energy, and the money is used to speed it up. Normally that would take 3 or 4 months to do. You don't have 3 or 4 months. You got to go live faster. So use that money to get an army of people to make that happen faster.
All righty. We're going to play a game, guys. Okay. So first and foremost, get a pen, get a paper, pull out your notes app on your phone, whatever it might be. Okay. Got it? Great. All right. What keywords does your website currently rank for? Take a couple seconds, right? 1, 2, 3, 4. I give you a few, not just a couple. What doesn't it rank for that you think it should rank for? Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now, what are a few keyword opportunities that you could be winning on if you just simply tweaked some of your existing website copy? Got it? Okay. How'd you do? Ooh. Not so hot. Not sure what you're currently ranking for, or not sure what you could be ranking for. Well, that's okay, because our friends at DD Agency want to help you answer all of these questions. DD Agency is a higher ed specific marketing technology agency that has conducted countless SEO audits for colleges and universities across the country. In these audits, they detail where you currently rank, what you could be ranking for, exactly how copy should be tweaked on website pages, and so much more. If this sounds like something that you could benefit from, give the guys at DD Agency a ping and be sure to mention that Enrollify sent you to claim a 10% discount on any of their SEO offerings. So head on over to enrollify.org/DDA SEO. That's DDA as in DD Agency SEO, or simply follow the link in the show notes below. That will guarantee you get a 10% discount off of your audit. All right, head on over to enrollify.org/DDASEO, or simply Google DD Agency, find DD Agency's website, and be sure to mention that you heard about them through Enrollify when you request your audit. All right, folks, back to the show.
I'm glad you articulated that, because I was thinking that too. It's like, it's really easy to fall prey. And again, this is a normal higher ed thing, to fall prey to like, hey, what is the one thing that we need to do to use all this money so that way we get it out of the budget, so that way no one takes it away, but then also so we can make an impact. And it's not one thing. It's absolutely not one thing. This one is off the, this was my second idea baking, because I do love, like what you said, is like, this would be a both and idea. but I think this could be so cool. And it's got huge technical implications that probably it would be a pain in the neck to actually pull it off. But this is the beauty of this podcast, right? We can dream. We can
dream big.
Dream pivots.
There's no red tape, Jamie.
I know. So think about this. Okay, so you have $50,000. Let's say that there are 50. There are 50 incomplete applicants that you are trying to convert. You've got, those are your targets, 50 people. What if you created or altered, optimized an existing comp flow, and you did that with a couple thousand dollars, you know, because you had to do it quickly. You had to, you know, so it was sent out and optimized. But what if we then took the remaining, say, $45,000 and converted that into tuition dollars, where if these incomplete applicants signed up for, you know, a semester, that they would be credited one course or two credits or something like that, where you're actually giving them the money in additional funding or so, something
like a scholarship.
Like a scholarship, but it's more like a credit.
Yeah.
So that way they don't have, like, there's not a thinking that we have to pay it every year. It's more just an opening incentive.
That is very much aligned with what I was just thinking. I originally started out with one idea and I changed as Tony was talking. with 50K, I think I'm very similar to what you were just saying. I would make it cash payouts, not tuition. I think it sounds better to be like, we'll give you money rather than
it's like a signing bonus. With money.
Yeah. What I would do is I would allocate the first 10K and I would say I would have current students refer other people to submit their application. They can refer as many as they want. We have 10K. We'll give you $500 for each person you refer, up to 10K total. Go ahead, students, race.
If they get accepted, obviously.
If they enroll.
Yes, have to get accepted. That's it.
Okay.
They get accepted. Jeez. They get $500 up to 10K total.
Even if they don't enroll?
That's aggressive.
And then if they enroll, each person gets $2,000. The person who referred and the now enrolled student each get 2K. You have 40K to spend there. 20 students. Boom.
Yeah.
Great for small schools and small programs where 20 students is all they need.
But you can fluctuate those dollar amounts, though.
Yeah.
You're a big school, and you make it still $500, I'd be like.
$500 is $500.
Yeah. Especially to a college student, too. Like, that's a good chunk of change there.
Yeah. I have never heard of an institution of higher education doing something like that.
I just trademarked it. It's $4,000 to me for rights to use that campaign idea. But I think you're getting access to an audience that would be really tough to tap into otherwise. You're getting current students, probably freshmen and sophomores, to refer their younger friends, siblings, friends, whomever, that might be hard for you to target, but already have some level of affinity for the school, or at least know about the school because they're probably a close connection of yours. Sure. And so I think the likelihood of getting a high number of referrals, again, people are going to be referring left and right. You alert them when the 10K has been spent, but it might go over. People might be referring people that, you know, okay, budget's kind of all eaten up for that, and other people are going to trickle in after. So you're still getting a decent flow of people, ideally.
At the end are going to be pissed, though. You know that.
But you announce your 10K, and it's like, hey, sorry, can't. Rules are rules. But then, then getting them to ultimately enroll. Whereas, I think with the enrolling thing, you got your friend you referred your friend. You weren't part of that 500 in the original 10K. But they enrolled. You each get your 2K. Just because you missed out on the 500 doesn't mean you can't get the 2K.
Sure.
So it's who enrolls faster, whoever submits their deposit first, whatever. So you can still have an opportunity to win money. So you still have an incentive to refer your friends, but now it's a little bit harder in that you're shooting for them to get accepted and enroll, and you get $2,000, but you don't get the immediate 500, or you could potentially get both if you're on top of it.
I like your idea. I would want to twist it in favor more for the admissions teams, the enrollment managers. I want to fill their meetings. I want to fill their chats. I want to fill their calls, their Zoom meetings, their in-person meetings. I want to use that money to incentivize. I want to keep my enrollment managers, my advisors, my admissions coordinators, whatever you call them. I want them busy as all get up for the next 3 months. Yeah. How can I make more qualified conversations? Because I'm going to play the odds that if I can get more people talking one-to-one, ideally like virtual meetings or in person, and ideally if you have any last minute events, I would want to promote the events as well. But if I can get those one-on-ones, I'm going to play the odds that people who talk to my people are more likely to apply and enroll.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I would want to take a twist on your incentive, but make it a little easier, lower the dollar amounts, but just do like refer a friend to talk, you know, who's a qualified potential applicant, and just book some meeting with an admissions counselor with serious interest about a program. And I'd put that out to existing students in the programs of the school that I'm at, and or even other admitted students who I know are deposited and coming, and say, hey, refer a friend. But the refer a friend doesn't have to be like for completing their app and being accepted. You're just referring them to talk to the admissions team and to have a conversation about the program, or programs, plural. That's the – I want to get those calls, those meetings.
If you refer people to start their application and they do, I think part of that goes into setting up your admissions team to be able to give those people a crash course on the university, where you are getting that one-on-one meeting with this person, right? Again, they were just referred. They probably haven't done all their homework on your university.
I just think that's hard. I think if you tell me that, I think, I don't know if my friend Jamie's going to apply. Like, that's a lot. But I could at least introduce Jamie to have a conversation about their programs because, you know, I'm in such and such program, but I don't know. The apply thing feels like a lot. And then I just give up at the beginning because even though you're paying me a lot, $500, $1,000, I just don't know. Like, that seems – I've got to get Jamie way further down the pipeline, whereas what seems easy is, like, introducing Jamie to the institution. Mm-hmm. And Jamie and the admissions folks, the advisors, talk about if there is a cool program he likes and play the numbers game that way. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm thinking on the undergrads. I don't know that a –
yeah, I feel like that there's a different audience.
For grad, I feel like that's definitely the way to go. I feel like a 17-year-old would be hesitant to be like, yeah, let's hop on a call. Like, I don't know. I think they would be more likely to just like, let me fire off this application. And then if I get accepted, that's a future me problem in that. Totally. Then I'll have the conversations. Then I'll do more of the research, figure stuff out, whatever. Have that conversation because I know they're interested in me rather than me doing it first. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess you're more just catering to your audience and their level of maturity. But
I really would want to capitalize, and this obviously is contingent on knowing some points of data, and you would know some of this. But I would really want to capitalize, if at all possible, take the money and capitalize on people who have started or invested some sort of, you know, in they've made some sort of investment already. I feel like that's the more sure money. And maybe that's the other thing is like, maybe it's a 60-40 split. 60% of it goes toward the, you know, final conversion or, you know, requalification of people who are already in the pipeline in some shape or form. And then another percentage of it goes toward like, what is the new student initiative? What are the things? So like, if we took all these things and mashed them up, how do we optimize the email comp flow? How do we put a truncated like spring travel schedule where we hand deliver the news to existing inquiries or existing, you know, incomplete apps, like, hey, guess what? You're going to get either this cash bonus or you're going to get your first course free because we're going to pay for it for you. Like, what, how do we do all that? You know, it's possible, but it depends on the size of your program. It depends on the amount that you're going to give them.
I think you need a multi-touch approach on that to make that work. Yeah. And that's where I'd put that money. I love that idea. And I would, you might need to send a postcard out or a letter that lets them know. Yep. I would invest the money on like increasing your team's ability to make outbound calls to call all these next best people. If this is undergrad, you're calling your next best folks who've had some level of engagement but didn't finish the app or inquired and fell off the radar. Yeah, I get it. You're going to get a bunch of voicemails, a bunch of nothings, but you're going to go through your list and say, hey, the reason I'm calling, I'm not just nagging you again. I wanted to let you know about this thing that I don't think you know about.
Yeah.
In case you're still considering, we have this incentive. Now there's this incentive. Yeah. You've sent it on print. You've called and left a message, or you've reached the person. You sent it on email. I haven't done any paid digital ads. And then you call them, right?
Call your parents. Call the parents.
And you get that out there. If you do a concentrated effort with that and you fund that, you're going to have a lift in enrollment this fall for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So smaller pivot, and get a little more specific. Let's say pivot within a pivot here. We have a good base of started applications who haven't made progress in the last. They're like, you know, stale by a month, let's say. They haven't touched them. What are you doing specifically to get those people to just submit? If you have three-ish months, that can be a fairly aggressive timeline, particularly for grad, where there's no, like, if you're going into undergrad, you're kind of probably making the decision, like, I'm going this year, I gotta move now. But if it's grad, you're like, I could do this next year, I could do it in 3 years, I don't know. What's your kind of micro pivot there, and being very specific with what you would do with 50K to get started apps to completed apps? Beyond, I feel like, you know, phone calls are great, but
no one takes them.
That's, it's also not money. Like, how would you spend the money? The 50K, what are you doing with the 50K? Yeah. Or are you just saying, hey, we'll give it all out through these phone calls and try to get people to complete? Or is there a way to spend the 50K on stuff and things to kind of push people through?
I think if you're talking about incomplete applicants, I think they're stalling out for a reason, and it's often not logistical. I think it's about brand and value.
Yeah.
And I think the default, and what you probably already have in place, or if you don't have this in place, you've really got some holes, you probably already have your post-app start nurturing sequences that remind them about all the deadlines and, hey, by the way, here's all the requirements, and this is just what's left to, for you to finish your app. All the factual and functional crap.
Our favorite.
But we don't. The F's. Where's the value? I think you need to throw all that out the door. Yeah. And I would spend the money on reinforcing and convincing them, because these are bottom funnel folks. This is not lead gen. These are people who started an app. At one point, they were excited, or at least thinking about this, but something's held them up. And I think it's a value issue. And this is the time where you do get the excuse. What I rarely would say is, like, you do get to talk all about yourself. You get to reinforce value, and you need student stories. You need video. You need stuff that convinces me, like, why you want to make sure you finish our application.
Yeah.
Among the others you're probably thinking about. And I actually think the storytelling, the brand value, this is where you get to brag about your value, the outcomes, why it's worth it. Don't talk about finishing the app. Talk about why your programs are distinct, amazing, solve the pain, or do the passions they want.
Yeah.
And let the value speak for itself and inspire them so that they then finish it.
Yeah, I'm wondering if, so, like, even if they have a program of interest or something, that you can then go pull a student, you can pay a student to go make a quick video talking directly to Jamie. So Tony makes a video saying, hey, Jamie, I saw that you're interested in, you know, the business analytics program. I'm in it right now. It's awesome. I'm wrapping up my junior year. I've done these internships that the school connected me with. I'm hoping to end up working here, blah, 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 blah. And you're really like, it's the value beyond, you know, my salary is going to be this. And, like, I think a lot of people tend to gear towards that when they hear about value of, like, how much money am I going to make after? But getting somebody to kind of expose maybe some of the opportunities and the things they're kind of going through while in college, and not thinking, like, great, that's value, that's like 4 years down the road. I don't, I don't know. In an instant gratification world, I feel like that's awesome. But there has to be some level of, like, well, what's my now? Like, the as is state going to be? That I think could be really cool if you have some energetic students that are willing to kind of make those videos and hyper personalize them with whatever information is kind of already in their application.
Shane, you're such a millennial when it comes to your instant gratification.
I am. Why wait when you can have it now?
I know. I actually think it's, I think we've used the word value, and I think value is important. I really think if we're talking about undergraduate students, and maybe even to a certain degree graduate students, depending on the program, what we really want to be talking about is the experience. The experience of, like, what, and I think this scratches the itch of instant gratification. Is like, what's my life going to be like when I'm enrolled there, what's my life going to be like as I'm in this program, as I'm living on that campus, as I'm in blah, 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 you know, figure it all out. And if we can capture, create a video that helps flesh that part out. And it kind of goes back to our previous, an episode that we did a couple weeks ago where I talked about the letter writing in real estate. It's like, how do we write that letter to those students who have are 30 days old now? How do we write that emotional appeal to make sure that they're recognizing this experience is going to be different and here's why you need to complete that process?
Yeah. Yeah, I like the idea of a video of, we've done blogs like this for clients before, of like a day in the life type of style blog, but turning that into a video, capturing that student's kind of like day to day, I think is super cool, especially on the undergrad thing of like, here's the dorm, here are the facilities, the, you know, dining halls, all that type of stuff. That's different than a virtual tour. That's a little bit, maybe more.
Yeah. I got to give a plug. I got to give a plug for this video series that this company did. It's called Onboarding Joey or Hiring Joey or something. Joey is spelled J-O-I-E, I think. And it's basically about a 90-day or a six-month HR introduction where she videotapes her experience. It's like, it's obviously, it's very short little episodes, but it's super cool as like this different day in the life of experience. But unbelievable, like it's very compelling. It's I think a school that could create something that's similar to that, like, you know, my first month on campus or something like that, totally kicks ass.
Yeah, that's cool. Awesome. Any final closing thoughts on the 50K? No, you still can't use digital ads.
He's pretty bad about that still.
Well, because I would want to retarget.
Let's say that you already have, you could theoretically still have budget. It's an extra 50K. It's not, you only have to. So you might already have money in your, so that you can do your digital ad stuff for. And there's your little cheat workaround if you need
there
it.
There we go.
Yeah, I like how
I don't think new lead gen. It's not for new lead gen. No, I want to make that clear.
Right.
It's too late. Yeah. New leads from digital ads that you get in, you know, May 28th.
Waste of time.
Very unlikely to make it from first touch to top bottom of your funnel and go from like thinking about this to buying it that fast. It's just not, all the data points towards that doesn't work.
Yeah.
And it's just for those of you out there thinking that, I really hope that's not your pivot, because it doesn't work. You cannot buy new people off the street. At this point in the game, you're converting the people you already have. Mm-hmm. I would want to spend the money on any tools and tactics that can help me uncover more of the people who I already have but may not know. They could just be suspect visitors that I don't have, you don't have a conversion with. Invest in how you get those people, the ones already engaging with your content. So,
yeah.
Awesome.
Just want to clarify, I wasn't wanting to do digital ads for new lead gen. I want to retarget existing folks you have to get them to move.
Yeah.
Wait, what are you saying, that digital leads, no one applies now off a digital ad? Is that what you're saying?
Crazy concept, but just apply now off of a digital ad is one of the low, amazing. I know this is like sacrilege for some people.
Let's clarify though, as a first touch.
I mean, I know that when I haven't even been shopping for a car, that if I get a digital ads that says buy this car, I'm certainly going to do that, right?
Lease today, Jamie. Yeah.
How can you not? It's probably a deal too. Awesome. Okay. So to wrap up, you know, as usual, what's kind of going on in your guys' world? Anything new, exciting, stuff you're working on that you want people to know about? What's the haps?
Is that a word? Is that
I don't know. I heard somebody say that one. What's the haps? That's a good one.
Another millennial thing.
I know.
Jamie, we need to find a new host. This is getting out of control.
I need to listen to my kids more because I'm always like, yeah. There you go. Tony, you go first. I have to think of what I'm going to
do. All right. I am literally working on right now. Our entire team is we're not working next week. Sorry if you're a client listening to this. We're not working for you next week. I mean, not directly. We're indirectly working for you. But we go off the grid. We do twice a year our annual dev days where we develop ourselves. And we get 3 days with our team. We're going to Atlanta. And I am so stoked about this. The entire DD agency team is going to be there. And it's really all the direct development companies. And it's going to be so fun. We work on professional development. We look at what's working. We do mock. We do stuff like the pivot. We mm-hmm. basically do pivots. We basically break our team up and make them have to react to pivots. And then the best of the best, and we vote on it, and there's like money prizes. We talk about internal operations so we can get more efficient. We talk about tactics that are working great and how to deploy them in unique ways. And then we come back from the stuff on fire. I love it. And so I'm working on our State of the Union, and actually we're talking about transparency and ownership and what that means as a team. So that's what I'm working on right now. I love this stuff. It's so much fun. And this is probably one of the highlights of our year when we get together, because we don't have this anymore. We're now, what, over 30 people in every time zone in the country. Mm-hmm. Love our remote team, but we miss being in person together.
Yeah. And international, technically, shout out to Pat Gomez and Brittany, who are in Baja, Mexico.
Yeah, they're in Mexico. That's right.
In the bus. What am I working on? Well, I just got back from some time away from the office, so I'm along with catching up with my email. I'm also working on, I mean, I think the big thing is, and this sounds kind of boring because it's kind of like what you just said, but in a bigger global level, like we do a lot of traveling in April and May for conference presentations and conference work. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of gearing up for that, you know, making plans. I had, you know, a discussion earlier today with a buddy of mine who we'll be meeting up with in New York City at the GEM Summit, which probably by the time this is airing, we'll probably be past that. Mm-hmm. But like those are a big part of the conversations that we have and the big part of the work that we do.
We just got two more since you were out, so I have to tell you about even two more opportunities to speak.
Perfect.
So awesome. We have hard decisions to make, Jamie.
Yeah, I know. So just kind of honing the skills on those, and then, you know, based on all those conferences, then doing the follow-up with the people who like what we were talking about. So
yeah,
that's awesome. What I'm working on.
Exciting stuff. Awesome. Well, thank you all for listening to episode 5 of The Pivot. Hopefully we'll see you again in 2 weeks.
Hey y'all, Zach here from Enrollify. If you like this podcast, chances are you'll like other Enrollify shows too. Our podcast network is growing by the month, and we've got a plethora of marketing, admissions, and higher ed technology shows that are jam-packed with stories, ideas, and frameworks that are all designed to empower you to become a better higher ed professional. Our shows feature a selection of the industry's best as your hosts. Learn from Mickey Baines, Jeremy Tears, Jamie Hunt, Corinne Myers, Jamie Gleason, and many, many more. You can learn more about the Enrollify Podcast Network at podcasts.enrollify.org. Our shows help higher ed marketers and admissions professionals find their next big idea. Find yours at podcasts.enrollify.org.